my testimony is not one of valleys so much as it is a testimony of the lilies found therein. My testimony is not one of a bunch of hard struggles and hard trials, but it's a testimony of how good my God's been throughout my life. December 24th, 1981, my mother delivered me into this world. But I thank God, according to the book of Jeremiah, God said that he was the one that brought me forth. You know, I don't know what doctor signed my birth certificate. Don't really care. But you know what? I do thank God that he was the one that brought me forth. And, why you see me with these crutches, there is a story behind that. My mother's a small frame woman, and she was in labor a lot longer than the normal medical time for labor. But because of her small frame, they didn't want to do cesarean section, which they should have done. But because they would not do the cesarean section, they lost not only my mother's heartbeat at one point in time, but mine as well. But I thank God that regardless, God can reach in the depths, praise God, of the grave and pull folks back. You know, and I thank God that, you know, he had a plan and he had a purpose for my life. He brought me back. Amen. He brought my mother back. Praise God. My mother has absolutely no bad side effects from it. But you know what? They said a part of my brain, I believe it's the size of a pinhead, died that day. Praise God. I tell them that was the part that made me atheist. Amen. Praise God. God went ahead and just zapped that thing. But I thank God that he brought me forth. And that thing happened to me. You know, the doctors did, and they told my family there, said he has spastic diplegic cerebral palsy, which is a big word meaning that my muscles are tight and that I will probably, unless the Lord intervenes, I'll have to use crutches or use some type of something to help steady myself probably for the rest of my life. But I thank God that some folks heard what the doctor said, but they didn't listen to what the doctor said. I thank God that when the man in the white coat walked out, the man in the white robe walked in. Because I had some folks, praise God, when I couldn't pray for myself, I had some folks, praise God, that knew how to get down upon their knees and call out to a mighty and to a holy God. And praise God, they looked at the doctor, praise God, and they said, God's will be done. I thank God for that. I thank God that folks, there may be some folks that you got on your heart, that you got on your mind, and you think they ain't never going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They ain't never going to come to church. They ain't never. Praise God. Keep on praying. Praise God. Because see, when you're lost and undone, you don't know how to pray. But you want to know something? I thank God that I stand here because of the prayer of others. I thank God that they said he'll never walk, he'll never talk, he'll never do anything, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. Well, needless to say, that was a very tall order. Scared my mom and dad probably to death. But my grandfather was a little more stable than they were at that point in their lives. And I thank God that he stepped up to the plate. He said, you know what? I'll take him. I'll raise him and I'll do that needs to be done. And I thank God for the opportunity to be raised. You know, a lot of folks would be bitter or say that, man, how dare they do that? But you know what? God had a plan. Amen. God had a purpose and a plan for me to be exactly the way I was. And so anyway, I came home with that diagnosis. As far as not being able to speak, I was able to speak at a normal age. Not only that, they could not test my reading level. When I went into the first grade, they tried to test my reading level. They said, can't be done. We have no books farther than this young fellow's reading level. And you want to know something? That was nothing more than the hand of God. You know, that was nothing more than God already preparing my little heart for what he had in store for me. And I thank God he can take the smallest little vessel that's willing, praise God, and bring forth his honor and his glory. But you want to know something? They said, we can't test his reading level. And, you know, if that would have been all God blessed me with, that would have been enough. That would have been more, far more than I deserved. But, you know, God didn't stop there. God's not a God that brings you so far and then leaves you. Praise God, he's a God, the Bible says, that goes with you all the way, even unto the ends of the earth. And so he had further plans for my life. At the age of 6 years old, my grandfather was working my legs. They said that he'll probably never be able to take care of himself, to dress himself. I still can't color coordinate myself too well, but I can dress myself, amen? But, you know, they said he'll never be able to do much of anything, but you might want to stretch him out just so that you'll be able to help him with his physical needs more so than if you didn't. So my grandfather was stretching me out according to the doctor's orders. I was laying on a burnt orange transformer sleeping bag, which, by the way, everybody at my age had to have a transformer sleeping bag, amen? It was standard procedure. It was something that you had to have. But anyway, I was there, and I was laying on that, and all of a sudden, I felt my leg go down. I knew that I was not to the point that I needed to be. So I asked my grandfather, I said, what are you doing? He looked at me and he said, the Lord told me you could walk. Now this is a man that's been now to the church too many times, to my opinion. He's starting to hear voices. He's starting to hear God speak to the man. And so I looked up at him. And I said, the Lord knows I can't walk. A lot of you may be in that situation this morning. The Lord knows I can't, you fill in the blank. The Lord knows I can't do this, or the Lord knows that I can't do that. But you want to know something? The Lord knew that I could. That's where I had made the mistake. But anyway, he dropped my leg and he says, rolled up the mat, got me off the mat and says, I want you to stand up here, want you to walk. Well, trying to explain that to a person who's never took a step takes a little explaining to do. I took steps assisted before, but I never took one by myself. So I looked and said, how? He said, put one foot in front of the other. Good advice for living a Christian life. Don't worry about what's down the road. Just put one foot in front of the other. Amen? But you want to know something? He said, put one foot in front of the other. I took one step, fell flat on my face. He picked me up because, you know, he didn't know no better than just to trust God. He picked me up and he says, do it again. Took two steps, fell flat on my face. I said, see, the Lord knows that I can't walk, and all you're going to do is get me hurt. He picked me up the third time. This is what he said to me. Guy from Avery County didn't know how to take no for an answer. He looked down, and he said, son, he said, the Lord told me you could walk. He says, I'm figuring one of two things is happening. Either you're scared or you're just too blame lazy to walk. He said, now I didn't raise you to be lazy. Amen. So he looked at me. He said, you got one of two options. You can either stop walking or you can get a whooping. I've been walking ever since. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes, praise God, you have to have the right motivation in order, praise God, to get, praise God, where God wants you. Sometimes you have to have the threat, praise God, of a whooping, hallelujah, to get, praise God, exactly in the middle of God's will where God wants you. But I remember that night I took my first steps and I couldn't count the number of steps because by the end of the night I was running backwards and forwards into a little sunroom that my grandpa had built onto the house. We called it the Maggie room, but it was a little sunroom type thing. And I was running backwards and forwards as fast as my legs could carry me, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if my story ended there, it would be amazing and it would be good enough. If that was all that God had ever done for me, that was far, far more than what anybody had expected. But see, I still had a little bit of a problem. You know, I still had something that God wanted to take care of for me. So at the age of 8 years old, I was told about a revival at the little church that I grew up at. I was told that there would be someone there to speak, and if I wanted to go, praise God, I had a way. And you know what? Little cripple boy that don't get out much, hey man, he thanks God for the bus ministry. I thank God for some folks that'll put aside what they want to do, how much they want to get extra sleep. Praise God, they get themselves ready. Praise God, and they provide a way to get folks to the house of God. Young people, praise God, thank God for your mama and daddy waking you up on a Sunday morning, praise God, and not giving you an option, but saying, bless God, we are going to the house of God. I didn't have a drug problem as far as this world's concerned, but I was drugged to church, amen? Every time that the church doors opened, I was there. Why? Not because I necessarily wanted anything, mind you. I just wanted to get out of the house. That's understandable. Like I said, I just wanted something to do. I couldn't play basketball or play football or play any of the games that other kids did. So I just wanted to go to church, amen? Something I could do. I remember sitting there. I was on the front row because I figured from a young age, even lost as I was, I figured, you know what? God was good enough to die for me. He deserves the front row. So I sat there on the front row. All of a sudden, I felt something. And I decided, not me, Lord. But see, God has a way of getting folk. And all of a sudden, something started working in my little old heart. Praise God, and all of a sudden, there wasn't nobody there beside of me, but all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God scooted up next to me and said, son, I fixed your legs, now I need to fix your heart. Amen. Praise God, if you're lost and undone here this morning, you've got heart problems. You've got an issue with the blood. Amen. Praise God, you need a blood transfusion from the Most High God. And you want to know something? Praise God. He come by my way and he said, child, I need to fix your heart. Scared me to death. Scared me to death. But I decided, you know what? My grandpa always told me, youngin', don't pick fights with nobody that you don't figure you can whoop. Amen. I figured I couldn't whoop God, so I might as well go ahead and do what he asked. Amen. So finally, after fighting it for a while, I went and I collapsed at the altar. Collapsed under the weight of my sin. And you know what? I came up a brand new creature. I came up a brand new creation. And praise God, I could not wait to get baptized. They took me to an old farm pond outside of Union Grove, and I was baptized. And you know what? Saved from hell is saved from a lot. Saved from hell is good enough. Saved from hell is a great, great thing that no one else can do for you. But you want to know something? God wasn't through there. Praise God. Every time I thought that God was through and I began to praise God for what he'd done in my life, you know what? He did something else. Praise God. So I began at 8 years old to read my Bible earnestly, and I began to pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? A little bit later, the words came back, or the word came back. Preach. No, Lord, is what I said. Absolutely not, Lord. See, I was picked up by preachers. I was picked up by deacons. I was picked up by folks that knew church business, that told church business to me because they wanted to unload, they wanted to unwind, they wanted to, you know, go ahead and just kind of vent, so to speak. So I said, no, Lord. I told the Lord at that point, I said, three things you will not do in my life. I don't care what else you do in my life, Lord, but three things you will not do. You will not make me fat. You will not make me bald-headed. And you will not call me to preach. Three things. The first two, he's already done. The second one, or the third one, he's working on with great speed. Amen? But I want to tell you something. I told God, I said, God, I won't do it. I got so nervous. By the way, when you're trying to hide out from God and you're not wanting to do what God wants you to do, the worst place to hide is in the church. The worst place to hide is around the Spirit of God, because God begins to deal with you and God began to tell folks on me. I had a little bit of a Peter experience, if you will. Everywhere that I went, folks says, you're going to be a preacher. And it wasn't that that convicted my heart. Amen. If you go on somebody else's word, praise God, you'll announce you call 1 week, you'll quit the next. But you want to know something? Every time that they would say something, Lord God, God say, that's right. I wanted to crawl up in the hole somewhere. And they'd say, you're going to be a preacher. Not me. Praise God, not me. Finally, I graduated high school. Moved 83 miles from my front doorstep of my grandfather's house to the mountains, the beautiful Wilkes County mountains. I thank God for sending me there. But you know what? The reason that I came, I just got sick and tired of hearing it. Amen. So I'm going to go somewhere where nobody knows me but the cows. And the cows ain't going to tell nobody. Amen. So I came up there and I decided there wasn't no other church like the one that I grew up in. So I decided I was just going to quit church. Because God understood, I was 83 miles from the nearest church and I can't walk there. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to quit church. All of a sudden, a good friend of mine, come by and he said, you want to go to church with me? I said, okay. Figured, why not, you know? And so we went for a while to his church. Some things transpired, and he ended up at another church. But I began to like church again, so I decided I'd just go where I had a ride. And so I began to go to that church. Well, I wasn't there but about two services. The preacher that was there, the pastor that was there, come up, sit down beside of me before service and said, "Brother, need to talk to you after service." Now, when someone says that to you, you immediately think, did I put on deodorant? Is there something stuck in my teeth? And is my shirt buttoned correctly? Those are the three questions that I immediately ask myself. And then he said, "I want to wait till everybody's gone because I don't want to offend you." I thought, uh-oh, something bad getting ready to happen. Well, all of a sudden, he sits down. He puts his arm around me. He says, "I don't know you that well, but I already love you." I tried to teach Sunday school. I tried to do all the other things in church. And praise God, that's a calling. But see, that just wasn't my calling. I decided I was going to go ahead and teach Sunday school, and maybe God would let me out of it. He didn't. I decided I was going to try to, you know, do this or do that. And praise God, maybe God would say good enough. But he never did. But anyway, he was sitting, the pastor was sitting there. He looked over at me and he says, "Funny thing happened." He said, "I was asking God what I want to preach on Sunday morning." Wednesday night. That was Sunday morning. He said, "I was asking God what I was going to preach on Wednesday night." And he said, "I never could get settled." And said, "Finally, God showed me, you're going to." And so, you know what I did? All of a sudden, something come up in me, scared to death, but something come up in me. And before I had a chance to think, something said, "Okay." You ever try to get toothpaste back in the tube? It's easy to come out, but it's hard to get them back in. Amen? So I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh, Lord, I done messed it. How do I get this back in the tube? How do I stop this?" But all of a sudden, something come over me, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I've ran, and I've ran, and I've ran, and you've told everybody but the cows on me, and I'm pretty sure when they beller, that's what they're saying. Preach, preach, preach." So I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it. Okay, Lord, I'll do it." Got up there that Wednesday night. Don't know half of what I said. Wish to God that they had a recording device like I have in my pocket right now, because I'd love to have known half of what I said. Praise God. I'm pretty sure that I covered a little bit of everything. But I just thank God that he did finally buckle me to the point that I knew I had to preach. That was in 2000. He buckled me to that point, and I said, "Okay, God." I still didn't advertise it. I still didn't tell nobody about it. But I figured, "Okay, Lord, if you tell somebody, praise God, then I'll go ahead." So anyway, I went. And all these things transpired, and I went through a process of going from one church. Then the Lord would lead me to another church for a season, and then it seemed like I was in a church kind of a bouncing stage. Not because I wanted to, but because I was feeling led to go in different directions. But all of a sudden, I met up with a friend of mine, Brady Foster. He developed MS at, I believe, 28 years old. And by that point, he had got a burden for me and him to kind of go to places. He could drive, I couldn't. He got saved a little bit into that. And you know what? Praise God, me and him struck out to going places. All of a sudden, I get a notice that Brother Derek Hodges is going to be up at a little place called Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I said, "I think I'll go up there." But first I called Brother Derek to get directions and to make sure where the church was at and everything. So we struck out, never been there in my life. I was sitting there, me and Brother Brady, sitting on the front steps, just not even, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb, I'm sure. Well, the pastor and Brother Jamie come by, and God bless their hearts, just like normal Baptists. They said, "We hope them boys get saved, amen." They said, "We hope them boys come in and get something." Praise God, but you know what? God had a plan. I didn't know Brother Jamie from nobody. And all of a sudden, it was just one of those connections. I don't know if you've ever had one in your life, but everybody, I believe, at some point has a God connection. They have somebody that God says, okay. And Mitchell had been my first one, Mitchell Johnston. And then it moved to Brady Foster. And then, all of a sudden, as me and Jamie started going to churches more and more, we started spending more and more time together. And one day, Brother Jamie called me in tears. He said, "Brother," he said, "you got to watch this movie." He said, "Have you ever seen a movie named Chevy?" Had never seen it, had never heard that there even was a person named Robert Sheppy. But all of a sudden, I was up there and I was watching that program. And Brother Jamie had been collecting different CDs from everywhere that he went. He would get a copy of the message. He never knew what he was going to do with them, but God did. And so he began to amass this collection. And all of a sudden, after watching that program, and a couple of weeks, maybe some things transpired and everything, and so Brother Jamie looked at me and said, "You know, brother," he said, "there's a lot of messages that are on cassette tape, and there are a lot of messages that are on old ways of getting, you know, messages. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that just seems like it's been on a bygone era." By the way, how many of you folks have a cassette player in your truck or in your vehicle? One, two. Well, we're in the mountains, amen, so y'all don't count. But, amen. But if I would ask that to most people in most churches, most people would not have a way to get those messages and to play them in their vehicles. They would not have a way to play them even in their house stereos anymore, because everything is rapidly going to CD. All y'all kids, you don't know what an 8-track is. If you do, it's a dinosaur. It's something that you read about in the history books. An LP, a record, is something that you read about in the history books. Back when Granny and Grandpa didn't have no other way to listen to music, they put it on this old fuzzy record that crackled and popped and made all kinds of noises. Amen? And that's how they listened to preaching, and that's how they listened to all these different things. But we began to get a burden that some of these, just because God sent a message 20 years ago, or God sent a message last week, amen, it does not diminish its power one bit. God's word, once it is spoken, praise God, will go forward, praise God, and it will return. It will not return void, but it will return that which God has purposed. So we began to decide, and Brother Jamie looked at me and he says, "Brother," he says, I'd love to be able to put some of these messages on CD, but he says, "I ain't got no idea how to do it." Well, I didn't have much of an idea either, so I called Brother Brady, who's good on computers, who's gifted in computers, and I called him and I said, "Listen," I said, "this is what I want to do." And he explained a very simple process by which we could put cassettes into our into our CD, into our computers and burn off CDs. Praise God, that was a blessing. Well, I think we just about burned up one of Brother Jamie's CD writers in one of his computers, praise God, till we figured out how to burn CDs, and we just began to put them out. I think Mike Reed's message was one of the first ones, the wheat and the tares that we put out. And it was like everywhere we went, we was putting out this CD. And then all of a sudden, we started to get a burden about getting duplicators, about being able to do it to where it wouldn't burn his computer up, but we could run 10 at a time. So we began to pray about it, and throughout this whole process, God had begun to speak to Brother Jamie about something, and me and him founded Circuit Rider CDs Ministries Outreach. And to date, I believe it's, 16 months? I believe 16 months old. In the past, the first 15 months, here lately we've been concentrating on our 501c3 process, but in 15 months, on a budget of only $250 a month plus donations, because there were three churches that took us on, Big Flats Baptist Church, Vanderpool Baptist Church, and Temple Baptist Church took us on at pretty much at the outset. So we had $250 a month to put out now 90,000 CDs in 15 months. And you know what? That's God. Because the CDs alone, because if we have the capability, we can burn 10,000 a month as it sits right now. 10,000 CDs, just the CDs, are $1,559 per shipment. Now, you're getting 250 in, and you're spending $1,559 out just on CDs. That's not counting the packaging, the labels, the sleeves, the everything else, the gas. Takes 2 days now to ride the circuit and to fill up, 81 baskets? The math there does not even compute. The math there doesn't even make sense. But then again, my testimony doesn't make sense. Your testimony doesn't make sense to this whole rotten, filthy, dying world. It doesn't make sense why you would want to spend time when you could be home maybe mowing your grass. By the way, I never thought I would mention mowing the grass in November. Praise God. But, you could be home mowing your grass or doing this or doing that. But you know what? You decided to get up early and get dressed in clothes that irritate you and go to a place and listen to a man sit here or stand here and scream at you about all the wrong things that you have done and how you need to straighten up and do better. Amen? That don't make sense. Does that make logical sense to anybody in this building? Doesn't to me. But praise God, I thank God for it. But you want to know something? I stand here as vice president, co-founder of Circuit Rider CDs and DVDs Ministries. Not because that I am anything. Not because I am worthy of anything. But because I was just willing to do what God had told me to do. And folks, I don't know what God's telling you to do. I do know one thing. If you're saved by the grace of God, He's telling you to witness and to witness and to witness. If you're not saved, He's telling you two words: get saved. Amen? Those are the things that I can tell you on the authority of God's word, he is convicting you to do. But I can't answer for you whether he wants you to go into the singing or to go into any kind of other evangelistic effort. I can't answer for you the question of what do I do with my life. All I can tell you is pray, pray, pray. And then whatever God says, do it. And do it over and over and over and over again until God tells you something different. But you want to know something? It's been, God started my testimony, and God will finish my testimony. But the thing about it is, it's not going to finish on this side of eternity. It's going to finish over on the other side of eternity. What I've given you here this morning is just a small taste of what my testimony is going to be like in heaven. Praise God, if you want to hear it all, praise God, make sure you're saved. Praise God, make sure you're where you need to be with God. And hallelujah, God may give me an opportunity to stand up and tell it in heaven. Because see, it's not really my testimony. It's a testimony of him. It's a testimony of what he's done. Because over and over again, the psalmist David said, it's thy salvation. It's not mine. It's thine. Praise God, it's God. Whatever I do, wherever I go, it's God. I'd ask y'all to remember me, to remember the ministry and your prayers and everything, because you know what? More than anything else, we need the prayers of God's people. We need the direction and the prodding and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what we need. That's what we desire. And praise God, I know y'all are getting ready to go into revival, so I'll just hit this while I'm here. Praise God. But you know what? Revival will only come by way of God. It'll not come because Brother Galgana or the other minister that's going to be here tonight, they don't have it in their back pocket. I can assure you that they do not know how to bring revival. But I guarantee you on the authority of God's word, there is a prescription for revival. And that revival prescription is J-E-S-U-S. And that's what we need in America. That's what we need to focus on. Praise God, stop looking for it from the White House. Praise God, start looking for it at the church house. If the church house will get right, the White House will get right. I thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. Again, pray for me. Pray for Circuit Rider CDs and DVDs ministries.